Good morning. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak again. I have to apologize. I don't know if it's the pollen or what it was, but yeah, a couple of Fridays ago, my voice went and it hasn't come back yet. So I do apologize for that. I'll try to speak as clearly and as boldly as I can. Wanted to share with you a meme. Now, I will tell you, if you ask my children, they will definitely tell you that dad and memes often do not mix because I am not a fan of this generation and their memes. But this one, I gotta say, brought a little bit of a smile to my face. In this meme, if you're a movie nerd like myself, in this meme, it is a screen capture of a very iconic moment in a movie that was produced a long time ago called 300. And it's Gerard Butler in his iconic and epic role as King Leonidas. And he is doing, if you've ever watched the movie, there's a moment where he sticks his foot out there and he kicks the Persian into the abyss. And what he says in the movie is, "This is Sparta." Well, this meme was obviously recaptured and kind of retooled a little bit. And Gerard Butler, in this particular meme, is wearing a very motherly-looking wig and an apron. And as he's kicking this Persian, and of course we don't see the Persian, we just see him kicking, the caption at the top in bright, bold, white letters was, "This is Mother's Day!" Now, I thought that was really funny. Number one, to see Gerard Butler in a wig, it was pretty funny. But I also kind of looked at it and I thought about it. Why would the poster post this thing? And number one, my first thought was, okay, why is Gerard Butler in a wig? There's a lot of things going on in the world today where people are wearing wigs and putting on makeup and aprons, and that's not a great sight, no? But then I thought to myself, yeah, what is this meme really trying to say? Well, if you remember the story of the 300, or if you actually go back in history, not just the movie, where they had perfect abs, if you actually go back in history and look at the Battle of Thermopylae, they were fed up. They were absolutely angry with the fact that the Persian Empire was taking over all of the property, and they were coming in and just conquering everything. And yeah, the Battle of Thermopylae was the Spartans' kind of declaration that no, this is no further. So when I saw that meme, the first thing I thought to myself when I saw that, "This is Mother's Day," I was like, yes! Because I don't know if you knew this, but in the past few years, Mother's, and especially Mother's Day, has actually been under attack. Now, not by the Persians, no. But by a lot of radical, we call them leftist, we call them liberal, we call them whatever title that we decide to attribute to them, they are ungodly. But in the last few years, mothers have been under attack. Motherhood has been under attack. If you haven't noticed, and Brother Tad, his lesson on abortion was absolutely wonderful. If you have a chance to get a copy of that and just play it over and over and over someday, please do. But abortion, killing babies, if you haven't seen the videos, people literally screaming for the death of babies. They literally stand on the video and say, "Kill the babies, kill the babies." And that's terrible. And I'm sorry I have to say that from the pulpit. But that's terrible. They literally say that. In the past few years, mothers have been under attack. And they've actually been relabeled. I don't know if you knew this, but mothers have actually been relabeled. The word mother has been replaced by the term birthing person. By some people who think that the idea of gender or a gender-specific term like mother is offensive and triggering. And so we have to transform the language and call that person a birthing person. If you didn't know, a birthing person is a woman who identifies as a man and gives birth. Basically, a woman who gives birth. But women just by themselves, whether they are mothers or not, are also under attack. Just in the past few years, we've actually seen boxing matches and UFC matches where a man claiming to be a woman has come into the ring or the octagon and has brutally, savagely beaten a woman athlete. We see men claiming to be women going into the Olympics and performing in women's sports and absolutely dominating, and that's not fair. There was even a popular video, a documentary that came out here a while ago, where the title of the video was actually, "What is a Woman?" And if you haven't watched this movie, this person who does this video literally goes to different places in America and even goes to Africa and asks the question to many different experts and people in academia and just people on the street, "Hey, what is a woman?" And it amazes me that in America, there were actually a number of people who would use this phrase, "I don't know because I don't identify as one." So you don't know what a woman is because you don't identify as one. Okay, that was interesting. So women and mothers have been under attack. This month, I just read this last week as I was preparing this lesson, but this month, many corporate entities, and it's a list too long to list out, but many corporate entities decided to opt out of Mother's Day advertising due to the disparity of Mother's Day being triggering to transgender individuals. So a lot of corporate entities, companies, are basically saying that, wait a minute, the idea of being a mother, that's triggering. We can't say that. Friends, we are living in a very confused and twisted generation. So that's why today I say it's so incredibly important that we cannot forget the meaning of Mother's Day. And that it's so important that through the course of this lesson, we understand what a mother, what a godly woman is, and why it's so important that we stand up, as the scripture said, that men and children, we literally stand up and we honor those women today because they absolutely, positively deserve it. They are of value and worth, and they need to know it. So why do we have Mother's Day? These are the things I'm going to address today. Why do we have Mother's Day? What does it mean to be a mother or a godly woman? Why is it so important to honor our mothers, especially in today's era? And what should godly moms everywhere do to defend against the attacks? Now, before we get into a little bit of history, because I really enjoyed this and I wanted to share this with you, I have to share with you another thing that I saw on the internet this last week. And in the attacks on mothers, of course, if you didn't know, there's actually an organization which, if I was a child of this age that's sitting out here right now, would scare me to death, because that organization is literally called 1 Million Moms. And children, yeah, if you saw 1 Million Moms coming down the street, there would probably be a lot of milk and cookies available, but it would also be very, very, very scary to see 1 million moms. But 1 million moms is actually saying, hey, wait a minute, we're defending our right to be mothers. And so we really, really want to make sure that we honor those women today. If you did not know, in 1914, let's go even further back. Anna Jarvis was a woman that lived in 1907. And she was part of a Methodist congregation. And Anna Jarvis came up with a very unique and wonderful idea. She said, hey, we need to have a service where we honor and respect our mothers. Now, the agenda particularly for Anna was to honor her own mother. Her own mother had died 2 years prior, and Anna described her mother as, quote unquote, a Proverbs 31 woman, and that she honored God, not Caesar. Anna's mother, which I was not able to find the name, I apologize, but Anna's mother, during the Civil War, worked for both sides rendering medical care. Anna's mother, as she said, was a Proverbs 31 woman. She literally went back and forth to both sides, and she would be a nurse to both sides, helping wounded soldiers. And so she was an honorable woman. And so Anna started, proposed to the people at the Methodist congregation, yeah, we need to have a service, not just to honor my mother, but everybody's mother needs to be honored. Well, this continued and continued and continued until eventually the Young Men's Christian Association, the YMCA, in conjunction with the World Sunday School Association, they rallied Congress, they proposed a bill to Congress, and in 1914, Woodrow Wilson declared and ratified that there would be a day every single year in May where mothers, like Anna's mom, would be honored. And that's why we have Mother's Day. The original intent of the day was to honor honorable mothers. And I love the fact that Anna specifically said that her mom was a Proverbs 31 woman. And men, let's just look to the left and to the right of you right now. Children, let's look to the left and to the right of you right now. Are you sitting next to a Proverbs 31 woman? Let's see some heads, men. Let's see some heads, okay? Yeah. Yeah, we definitely want to honor those women today. So, let's look at, and I appreciate so much Proverbs 31 being read. I'm not going to read the entire thing again. We just want to capture a few things from Proverbs 31 that were read this morning. So number one, the passage that was read starts with a rhetorical question. Who can find a valuable woman? Who can find a godly woman? Okay? And the rhetorical question is answered with a statement that her value far exceeds the common wage of the day. What the writer was basically saying is that when you find this woman, she is worth everything that you could possibly have in a bank account. Do not let her go. Do not let her go. She is like a shining precious gem, a gleaming ruby, a diamond. Don't let her go. Some of the things that are gleaned from this passage. She is strong. Not just strong in terms of physical manual labor. Back then, they did a lot of that, kids. But manual labor. But strong emotionally. Strong for her family. She is firm. She has boundaries. She knows how to take care of herself, but she also knows how to take care of her family. She is wise. This wisdom comes from knowing not just the word of God and following His will, but also knowing the things of the world. Knowing how to do things in the world. She is thrifty. That is definitely a word that describes my Proverbs 31 woman. She is thrifty. She knows how to get exactly what she needs, and she knows how to get it at a good price. She is generous and gracious. She gives to others, and she gives gracefully, meaning even if people don't necessarily deserve it, she gives it out anyways. She is industrious, meaning she knows how to make things with her own hand, and then she sells them. She is really, really skilled. She knows exactly what she's doing, and her own product is not just something that goes out into the marketplace, but even her own family wears the things that she makes. We also want to note that there's a couple of verses there that delineate the idea that these are not cheap things. As a matter of fact, I find it fascinating that the only time the man or the husband is mentioned in a couple of these verses in this passage is when it says that he's known in the gates, but the verse before that says, well, yeah, he's known in the gates because she makes him look good. She clothes him with scarlet and purple, and he looks good. And so all of the men know him in the gates because of her. I love that. Her children stand to praise her. Children, if you don't stand to praise your mother, both physically, literally, and metaphorically, okay? If you don't stand to praise your mother, you need to do that. Her husband counts her as a precious treasure to him. He also rises and calls her blessed. We need to call our women blessed, men and children. Let's look at some quick examples of people in the scriptures that we would consider as godly women. Turn me to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua 2. The passage is 1 through 21, but I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit. Joshua 2, 1 through 21. I'm actually starting in verse 2. They went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Verse 9. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. What a godly woman. What do we learn from Rahab? Number one, she was a citizen of Jericho. She was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. She was actually in the city that God had sent his people to utterly destroy. But what did she do? She had heard about God and the things that the Israelites had done through God. She had heard about some of the battles. She had heard about the miracles. And I love this phrase. She says, our hearts did melt, and there was no courage found. Why? Because she believed in God. She recognized, she declared to the spies, she declared that God is the one and true God. And if we needed any other scriptural reference here, in James chapter 2, verse 25, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, James 2:25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab saw what was in her family's best interests. She created a plan. She acted on it. And she didn't just save herself, but her entire household. If you remember right, the rest of the story is that when they came to Jericho to destroy it, she was saved. She made a bargain with them. Hey, I saved you. Are you also willing to save my family? They brought that back to Joshua, and of course Joshua said, yes, we will save her family. And as a matter of fact, when the walls fell, one of the things that Joshua said is, hey, when you go in there, save Rahab and her family. She was a godly woman. She was industrious. She was wise. She was shrewd. She recognized, number one, that God was the true God, and she used that to her and her family's advantage by making a deal with these spies and saying, hey, please save us. We'll save you. Please save us. Let's look at another one. Exodus 2, 1 through 5. Exodus 2, 1 through 5. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child in it, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. This woman's name was Jochebed, and we know her as the mother of Moses. Jochebed had reason to fear for her son's life. She was literally under attack. Just like mothers are under attack today politically, her son's life was literally under attack. Pharaoh had declared, "When a male is born, you are to kill it." Egyptians were going around killing all of the firstborn males. Mothers, think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. If you gave birth and you knew that not only was there a governmental command to kill your child, but you also knew that soldiers could be coming to your house to kill your child, what would you do? See, sometimes it's okay to stand up and defend your family, your children's lives against a tyrannical government. She gave him away. Such was the sacrifice of Jochebed that not only did she save her child, but she was even willing to give him away. She loved her child so much. She loved Moses so much that she was willing to sacrifice him to somebody else. She put him in the ark and she gave him a new chance at life. She wasn't selfish. She didn't just think about herself. She thought about her child's life. She trusted in God. That was the biggest one. She trusted in God. And she was faithful. Now, I want to take a little bit of an aside here and go back to Proverbs 31, because we want to look at something too. She was industrious. The ark that she made worked. Moses did not drown. The ark worked. It was well constructed. And I love how the writer records specifically that she daubed it with pitch and she worked hard on it. She finished it well. It was well constructed. And not only that, she was wise enough to send somebody to watch it. She sent the sister to watch and to make sure that it went where it was supposed to go. Sometimes we don't think about that part of the story. But she was good at what she did. When she put her hands to making that ark, it worked well. She was wise, she was loving, she was caring. She was a Proverbs 31 woman, a godly woman. And these are the examples, and these are just two of many that we could pull out, but for time's sake, we won't. These are the pattern that they set on how today's mothers can also be. Brave, confident, bold, caring, daring, nurturing, industrious, skilled. Men and children, take a minute. Do any of those adjectives, and I'll read them off again, do any of those adjectives, do they resonate with the woman sitting next to you? Brave, confident, bold, caring, daring, nurturing, industrious, skilled. Think about the woman sitting next to you. Let's make sure that they know that. We need to make sure that they absolutely know that. We need to continue honoring the biological women who serve in motherly roles. With motherhood being attacked so much right now, we need to honor mothers. We need to honor biological women who are mothers. But not just mothers, biological mothers. But you know, we also want to make sure that we honor biological mothers, foster mothers. Women who take in other people's children and they become a mother to them. blended mothers. Stepmothers, blended mothers, the phrase is the same. In my work, I work with a lot of people who, unfortunately, yeah, they've had a number of relationships outside of the relationship that I'm counseling. And there are a lot of children that come from that. But these mothers are still mothers, regardless. We need to honor them. They need to be honored. We need to make sure that they know that those adjectives I listed off, and of course those are just a few of the ones that came off the top of my brain, but we need to make sure that they know how valuable and precious, like rubies, like sapphires, like diamonds, that they are to us. Some quick scriptures as we close. Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Exodus 21:15-17. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Proverbs 15:20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. There are many, many others that we could bring out there. But both fathers and mothers, likewise, equally, both fathers and mothers are listed several times, especially in the book of Proverbs, as heeding the instruction of the father and paying attention to the wise counsel of the mother and making sure to not bring reproach upon both father and mother. We really need to think about, I love the fact that that Ben was talking about today about the idea of a reputation. Children and men, think about the reputation, the reproach that possibly somebody could think of in terms of your mother. Consider that. Mothers, to wrap it up, what can you do to defend yourself? Number one, take pride in what God made you. Never let anybody tell you that a birthing person is more important than what you do right now in your life. Take pride in what God has made you. I use a couple of scriptures in the class that I'm doing on Wednesdays right now. Psalms 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Mothers, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your value is far, far beyond rubies and diamonds. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Mothers, you are absolutely God's workmanship. Be proud of that, and be proud of the role that you have stepped into. Take compassion and pity on these lost and confused people. That's hard, because sometimes they act, like I said before, whether you watch it on videos or whether you've physically been in the presence of somebody like that, yeah, sometimes they act in very, very evil and spiteful ways. And it's very, very difficult to have compassion and pity on people who are lost and confused. And again, this generation is lost and confused and twisted. So take pride in who you are. And have compassion on them, because they don't know what they're doing. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Romans 12:19-21. We want to make sure that we are compassionate and kind, but we still remind people that this is what God has ordained and not man. Remember, lastly, 2 Timothy 3:1-4. In the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's going to happen. We're in the last days. And we see this all the time. We see laws literally being passed where it gives children the right to be disobedient to their parents. And so, mothers, we need you. Fathers, I don't have the sermon on Father's Day, but we need you too. But mothers, we need you. Your courage, your compassion, and what you do every single day of your life is absolutely beyond value. This has not been a lesson of what must I do to be saved, but let's be honest. We want our mothers to go to heaven with us. If you've not yet been baptized in the waters of baptism, if you've not yet named the name of Jesus on your lips, if you have not yet taken the time to fully give your life to Him and surrender to Him, I'm telling you, you're trying to fight a battle out there just of your own wits. But when you have the Holy Spirit, when you have God fighting those battles for you, because you're a member of the kingdom and a member of the promise, it's a lot simpler. A lot simpler. So if you've not yet done it, that, or maybe you've strayed for a number of years and you have not taken the time to repent and come back. I always love Acts chapter 22, where Ananias said, "What are you waiting for? Why do you tarry? What are you waiting for? Please come forward now as we stand and sing."